Our text this morning is Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, as we consider that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, which we call patience. And for our background reading, I would turn your attention to Matthew chapter 18, beginning of verse 21, as we read the account of the unmerciful servant, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Matthew chapter 18, beginning of verse 21 through 35. Hear now the word of God. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." In Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, we'll read through verse 17. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." There ends the reading of God's holy word. You may recognize this portion of Scripture as a portion that we once in a while use for the reading of the law, as Paul begins before this in chapter 3, rules for holy living, and he says, "Put off the deeds of the old man," and then here, "put on." "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves," in our consideration this morning specifically, "with patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Well, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider the teaching of God's Word this morning concerning that godly virtue of patience, there is a danger. And that danger is, as we consider this sermon this morning together, the danger is that it may only be necessary for one person here this morning, and for no one else. But I know for a fact that it is necessary for at least one person here, because that person is me. I am often impatient. I am often impatient with those who do not agree with me, with those who argue with me, with those who do not live up to my expectations. I am often impatient with those who disappoint me, or those who despise me, or those who are impatient with me. I am often impatient when I am in a hurry and the line in front of me is slow, or when others inconvenience me, or when things simply are not going smoothly or are not going my way. I am often impatient with my wife and my children more often than I care to admit. And maybe you struggle with some of these situations too. Maybe you all needed a little extra patience just getting here this morning. Some time ago, I came across what is entitled a patience test. It actually came out of a Family Circle magazine back in 1984, and there are 17 questions on here that one can ask of themselves to find out whether you are a patient person or not. Just a couple of them. Is hurry up one of your most used phrases? Do you think you have to do every job yourself or else it will never be done right? Do you get equally upset by a lost glove as your son flunking English? Do you avoid eye contact for fear that acting too interested will encourage someone to take more of your precious time? Are you annoyed when you see people doing things you feel that you can do faster or better? Just a few of the 17 questions. You see, beloved, the truth about patience is that it doesn't come easily, does it? It takes time to acquire, it takes time to develop, and it often has to be learned and learned the hard way. And certainly not in a hurry. It has to be learned in situations where it is indeed required. Maybe you have heard the saying, be careful what you ask for. For example, if you pray for patience, be careful because you may then find yourself in a situation where you need patience. And another truth with regard to patience is that there are so very many opportunities to practice it, aren't there? Not only because of the sin and the weakness of others, which we would like to blame it on, but especially because of our own sin and our own selfishness and our own weaknesses and unreasonable expectations, which we like to overlook. Yeah, beloved, like all of the other expressions of the fruit of the Spirit, patience is a Christian virtue. It is a godly virtue. It is a part of the fabric of the clothing of the new self by which the believer in Christ by faith is to be recognized. We are to be recognized by this clothing. It is to set us apart. Boys and girls, it is to set us apart from unbelievers, from the world, and we are to be recognized by the world with this clothing, just as Joseph was set apart by his brother and was recognized by his brothers with his coat of many colors. And therefore, God commands His people to be patient. And beloved, indeed, it is a command, and again, a command for our good. God's commands are only for our good. Clothe yourselves, Paul says. Put on. It's not just a suggestion to take or leave as we feel like. It's not just do your best, and whatever the outcome is, well, that'll be fine. But put on. Be patient. It is characteristic of the new life, and it is to be practiced, first of all, because of its compelling reason. And its compelling reason, beloved, is God Himself. He is the compelling reason for patience, because it is a godlike virtue. God is patient, and because He is, those who are in Christ Jesus by faith are compelled, they are driven to imitate His patience. God's patience, which is seen in His patience to the world. And you remember, don't you, that God's patience was seen in His patience to the world already in the beginning when man sinned. When man sinned, God did not throw up His hands and say, "That's it, I've had enough. I gave them a chance, they blew it, I want nothing more to do with them, I'm going to wipe them out." When man sinned, God did not wipe out this world and mankind immediately. Yes, indeed, there were disastrous results, but God was patient with mankind because of His plan through the seed of the woman to rescue and save a people for Himself. Seen also in His patience throughout time, throughout history, as Paul says in Romans 9, God bore with great patience the objects of His wrath. In other words, He put up with wicked mankind. And as Peter says, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Or we can think about God's patience with Pharaoh during the time of the plagues. Pharaoh continued to harden his heart again and again and again. And God's patience is evident still today as He gathers His church. He demonstrates patience with this world as a whole. Because as He describes Himself in Exodus chapter 34, He is slow to anger, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And Paul in Romans 2 verse 4 speaks of the riches of God's kindness, tolerance, and patience. But beloved, that's not to say that God's patience is without limit. It's not to say that God's patience will never run out. Think of the great flood again. God wiped out the entire mankind except for eight. Think about Israel in captivity. After all those warnings, indeed, God finally did. He did it. He sent them into captivity. Think about the wicked nations that God commanded Israel to destroy. Think about the countless many who have died in unbelief throughout history. And think about the fact that one day Jesus Christ is going to come again. He is going to put all His enemies away forever. Those who rejected Him, God's patience is not without limit. It will come to an end. Yet God is, and He has been, extremely patient with the wicked world. And we are compelled to imitate His patience, especially as we remember God's patience to us and with us in Christ. In Christ, as those who have provoked Him to anger, as those who have offended Him with our whole being. You see, we are a part of the none righteous, no, not one, that Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 3. Yet God has saved us by His grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, and His patience to us continues throughout our Christian life. Think about it. Each and every day, God's patience is demonstrated to us. It continues to us. We still continue to sin. We continue to sin each and every day. Yet God is patient toward us. He is forgiving of us. He will not change His mind about us, nor will He revoke the work that Christ has done for us. This is the compelling reason for the believer's patience, because of God's patience with and His forgiveness of us. And beloved, as new creatures, then this is to motivate us towards patience with others, which includes, secondly, its comprehensive nature. When is patience to be practiced? How is it to be practiced? Well, indeed, it is comprehensive. You see, there are a number of words, a whole host of words in the New Testament that describe the aspects of patience. If you put them all together, we might say they describe a godly reaction to a variety of situations. And really, that's a very good definition of patience. A godly reaction to a variety of situations which require godly patience. And this patience, when you put all these words together, it's clear that patience includes patience towards others, other people, and also patience in the midst of situations or circumstances that we might be called upon to face. And Paul touches on both of them in Colossians 1 verse 11. He says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. Endurance there means patience. And he's talking there about great endurance or patience in situations or circumstances of life that one might face. And then he goes on, with great endurance and patience. And the word patience there is specifically talking about patience with other people. So he covers both right there in that one verse. Patience has many descriptions. It is described as being long-suffering, or it's described as forbearance, or a calm response, or self-restraint, or tolerance, or endurance and perseverance. Endurance and perseverance are two that are tied up in patience. All of these in the sense of a godly reaction. And beloved, a godly reaction, especially when facing negative treatment from others. In our text in Galatians 3 verse 12, when Paul says patience, it means their long-suffering. And long-suffering is a biblical response to suffering at the hands of others, such as suffering abuse, all kinds of abuse. Patience, then, is the ability to suffer a long time under mistreatment and under the antagonism of another without growing bitter, without growing resentful, and without striking back in revenge or getting even. Oh, how we need patience. Don't we, boys and girls and young people? And really for all of us, without getting even. That seems to come more natural, doesn't it? Of course, when we're talking about physical or sexual abuse, it does not mean that the victim is to continue to put up with that. Not at all. But still, for the child of God, with that attitude of not striking back in revenge, not getting even. You see, beloved, there are countless occasions or countless different ways that abuse comes. It comes by way of insults or persecution or what we might call needling or picking on another one or ridicule or unfair treatment or maybe downright meanness, whether physical or emotional, whether with the fists or with words. It is found at home, at work, in the neighborhood. Sadly, it's often found in our families, isn't it? Boys and girls, you know that among brothers and sisters, there's often a lack of patience when it comes to the most minor details of life. Very simply, this patience is talking about being long-suffering in the midst of any kind of abuse from another that you cannot stop because you cannot control them or their actions, and it means that it is going to come upon you and me. And in the face of it, God calls for love that binds all these virtues together, as Paul says in verse 14. That love, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, is patient. I trust that as we consider these virtues of godliness, that we see how intertwined, how dependent they are upon each other. For example, peace and joy promote patience, and patience results in peace. And beloved, lest we think that this is an unimportant matter, this garment of peace is so important that Paul calls for long-suffering in Galatians, in Ephesians, in Colossians, in Thessalonians, in Timothy. In Romans 12, verse 12, he says, be patient in affliction. And with all of these included is praying for God's mercy on the abuser, which is more important to the child of God. God's mercy on the abuser is more important to the child of God than revenge. Why? Because of our peace with God. So, is that true of me? Is it true of you? That our desire is God's mercy on the abuser more than our personal revenge? Oh, may it be. Trusting in the faithfulness of God to care for us. Beloved, the negative treatment that requires long-suffering then also includes patience when being provoked. We are easily provoked. You make me so mad. Have you ever said that to anyone? Has anyone ever said that to you? It means that we often allow the actions of others to arouse our anger and to drive us to words and actions that are loveless, to say the least. Again, abuse by others, as we just said, is often beyond our control. We can't stop it. And in the face of that abuse, we are called to be long-suffering. But being provoked, you see, sort of brings the situation to our side. It kind of, as we say, puts the ball in our court. It leaves us in a position to do something about it. And often, sadly, we are provoked to do what we ought not do. Sometimes we are so easily provoked, again, by abuse or by taunting or by a child refusing to listen or when others want something, want us for something or want something from us. In so many ways, and beloved, that provocation by another might be deliberate on their part, but it might not be. Again, we cannot control abuse that may come from others, but we are to control our reaction to it. Yet patience here is being slow to anger, as God is, as Exodus 34 says. Or as 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is not easily angered. And beloved, in the face of negative treatment through abuse or provocation, the Holy Spirit aids us by causing us to remember and causing us to reflect on and causing us to rejoice in God's patience with us, as seen in the parable that we read. In that parable, the king or the master represents God, and the unmerciful servant with the unpayable debt represents us. There's much that we could say about that parable, but our purpose is to look at it in the context of patience this morning. The unmerciful servant indeed was forgiven an unpayable debt. Really, if we were to do the calculations, which I did at one time, it was many lifetimes of salary, we might say, that he owed to his master. There's no way that he could pay it. Absolutely no way. He was forgiven an unpayable debt, yet once he was forgiven, he forgets that immediately, and with regard to his fellow servant, instead of being slow to anger, he was fast to anger. One commentator says, we are like the unmerciful servant when we lose our patience under provocation. We ignore God's extreme patience with us. We discipline our children out of anger while God disciplines us out of love. We are eager to punish the person who provokes us while God is eager to forgive. We are eager to exercise our authority while God is eager to exercise his love. Listen again how Paul describes us, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Our patience, beloved, is to seek to respond in a godly manner. As Solomon says in Proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath. And along with long-suffering, the comprehensive nature of patience also means practicing tolerance towards others. Again, long-suffering towards those who abuse us and treat us negatively, badly. But we are also called to practice tolerance when others don't even know that we need to be tolerant with them. Practicing tolerance towards others, towards their faults, their shortcomings, their idiosyncrasies in our estimation. Against those things about another that irritate us and annoy us, whether they should or not. And those things may not even be directed directly at us, yet tolerance towards things like the habits of others, or their inconsiderateness, or their selfishness, or how they talk, or how they wear their hair, or how they laugh, or what they wear, the things that simply bug us. How are we to respond? Jesus gave the golden rule, didn't he? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And I believe Paul puts it beautifully here too in verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with each other. And we could then take that word and back up to what he says in the previous verse and say, bear compassionately, bear kindly, bear humbly, bear gently, bear patiently with one another. And that word bear, we know, is also translated in some Bible versions as forbearance. It means very simply to put up with, not in the negative sense of grudgingly, complainingly, but it's talking about a gracious tolerance of another's faults, overlooking them in love. Peter says love covers a multitude of sins. We might say as well, love covers a multitude of irritating habits. And love preserves unity in the spirit of the bond of peace, as Paul says in Ephesians. And Paul is referring here to petty things. Grievances is talking about petty things. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, the word is used complaints. Whatever complaint you might have, it's simply talking about those minor circumstances of life. If we think about the relationship between the unmerciful servant and his fellow servant again, the unmerciful servant was owed peanuts by his fellow servant. Nothing. It was no big deal. It was only pocket change, a few dollars. It really was. A few dollars versus many lifetimes of earnings. The unmerciful servant had no reason to become impatient, to become intolerant with his fellow servant. Beloved, we are to remember that God bears with us patiently every day. Every day with failures that are so much more serious than anything anyone can or will or has ever done to you or me. John Calvin says with regard to verse 13, he says this, that we embrace each other indulgently and forgive also where any offense has been given. As, however, it is a thing that is hard and difficult, he, that is Paul, confirms this doctrine by the example of Christ. and teaches that the same thing is required from us, that as we who have so frequently and so grievously offended have nevertheless been received into favor, we should manifest the same kindness towards our neighbors by forgiving whatever offense they have committed against us. Beloved, the comprehensive nature of patience is that it is long-suffering in the face of abuse or trouble or negative treatment from others. As well, it is tolerant of what we perceive to be the shortcomings of others. But most importantly, it waits patiently for God. Again, patience is not only required with regard to ourselves and others, but it is required with regard to ourselves and the circumstances of life that we might be called upon to face. When facing hardships and difficult circumstances of life, God does not always answer our prayers as we want or when we want. We are called to wait with endurance and to wait with perseverance. Again, endurance and perseverance are wrapped up, are integrally a part of patience. To wait with endurance, it means standing up under it, not rolling up into a ball, crawling into a corner and covering our heads. As if we don't look, then it's not really real. Standing up under it, standing up in spite of it with hope and waiting with perseverance. And the idea there is progressing, moving forward in obedient service to God, moving forward in one's God-given task in spite of every hardship and trial. As Hebrews 12 says, we are to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Refusing to give in to despair, just as David refused, as we read in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. Beloved, we are called to wait upon the Lord who helps us to be patient, who helps us to endure, to persevere, to move forward in affliction, and especially when surrounded by the wicked world. Progressing with confidence because of God's promises and trusting the results to Him, knowing that He is in control. We don't know what tomorrow holds, as the saying goes. We don't know what's going to happen to any one of us tomorrow, but we do know with confidence who holds tomorrow in His hand. God commands His people to be patient. He is the compelling reason because of His patience with us. He calls us to practice it comprehensively. But also with regard to this command of patience, we notice finally its guaranteed accomplishment. You see, the believer will exercise patience, not perfectly, not all the time, but the believer will exercise patience, not because of us, not in our own strength, not because of our own resolve. Indeed, in spite of our sinful inclinations. And to be sure, there is more progress in some with regard to patience and with regard to the entire fruit of the Spirit than others, because some, very simply, are further along in that process of sanctification by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yet you see, beloved, the new man in Christ Jesus, no matter how new, no matter how young in the faith, is not stagnant. He does not stand still. Some degree of patience will be present. It will be practiced. How do we know? Because it is of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's His work. He will accomplish it. The Holy Spirit is given to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are recipients of the grace of God's patience towards us. As God punished Jesus Christ for all of our sins, who Himself endured it all patiently, as Isaiah said He would. When Isaiah said he did not open His mouth, He was silent. And Peter confirms that in 1 Peter 2, verse 3, when he says, when they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. The Holy Spirit will not fail. He will accomplish His work. And the more that we hear the gospel, and here's a good reminder, beloved. Some say that we don't need it anymore. For those who are believers, we don't need the gospel. We don't need to go to church. We don't need to hear the word preached. That the gospel, the good news, is only for unbelievers. They are the ones who really need it. That's not true. Because we struggle each and every day, we continually need the gospel. We need to hear it. We need to read it day by day in our personal devotions. We need to hear it proclaimed from the pulpit, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. What a blessed gift to us. And the more that we hear the gospel, beloved, the more that we understand that no one can hurt us, no one can offend us more than we have offended God and still do. Yet the gospel message also includes that we need to hear again and again our blessed assurance that He does not even hold our sinful inclination of impatience of today against us. The Holy Spirit will accomplish His fruit, which includes patience in us. Maybe not as quickly as we would like, but indeed equipped and enabled by the Holy Spirit, we are called to put it into practice. We are called to think before we speak, before we act, and especially before we react. We are called to work, to exercise patience. The Holy Spirit will accomplish His fruit through communication with God's Word, constant communication. God's Word, which continually and clearly reminds us of how we have offended God and what we truly deserve, yet how God has been patient with us and withheld what we deserve from us for Jesus' sake. And beloved, as we remember God's forgiveness of us, as we truly meditate on God's patience with and forgiveness of us, then being unforgiving and intolerant of others is really unthinkable. Don't you think? Through His Word and by His Spirit, He leads His people to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, as Proverbs 3 says, including in how we respond to situations of life. Paul says, verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, even in how you and I react, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." We are called to pray for patience. Because number one, it's not natural in us. And number two, prayer is a confession that our help comes only from the Lord. And the believer's patience in a particular way is tied to our security in Jesus Christ, recognizing that security, confessing that security, and knowing that apart from Jesus Christ, God's patience will run out and His wrath will be poured out forever and ever and ever upon those who reject Him. But for those who are in Christ Jesus by God's grace, for those who give their lives to Him and trust in Him alone, He Himself is the guarantee of God's patience and forgiveness. He is the guarantee of God's eternal pleasure toward those who believe, and He is the one for whom we wait eagerly, and we wait expectantly, and we wait for Him patiently. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, once again, O Lord, as we sometimes say, You have hit us right between the eyes with Your Word. Indeed, we must confess that this is an aspect, a characteristic that we struggle with so very much, some more than others. We need so very much work at times. We pray, Father, that indeed, because of the peace and the joy that we have in Christ Jesus, that by that You would work patience in our hearts and lives. Lord, we are not asking for circumstances and situations in which patience will be required. But we pray that when we are called upon to face them, that indeed You would equip us with that patience we need. As we are so very thankful, O Lord, for Your patience with us in not giving us what we deserve, but in laying it upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for bearing patiently all the wrath of God that should have been against us. So, Father, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen.